please repeat?
Okay, I'll repeat myself because our...
the sound engineer was...
Right, slow. Because the sound engineer was not functioning soundly. So, I'll start again. All right. So, tonight's going to be the first of three talks in the Applied series. Tonight will be Applied Mathematics. The next satsang will be on applied logistics, and the third will be on applied geography. Okay, and the emphasis here is really on application. Right, now this is satsang. Satsang means spiritual instruction. And many of us think that spirit is like up there, and it's not a very practical thing. Okay, but the teachings teach us that God is right here and is within us. And is living us as us. So there's nothing more practical than spirit inside of us and spiritual instructions. Okay? So I want to give a little bit of instructions about mathematics. Okay, and I'll start. I won't get into trigonometry. I won't get into calculus. I won't get into algebra. I'm just going to do simple math. Okay. And I'm going to start by doing a question. Okay, we're going to do a little process, and I'll give you a question. Okay, and so like most processes, or all processes, I start by calling in the light of the Most High, because that's what we work with. So, Lord God, send us your light, and we put this process into your light for the highest good. Okay, now let the answer just spontaneously come. Okay? In the course of your waking hours during the day, okay, how many hours are devoted to feeling sorrow for things that didn't work out, for where you are in your life, for people who didn't act that the way you thought they should? How much of your waking hours are spent in fear? In being afraid of expressing yourself, of doing what you need to, etc.? And how much of your day is spent in worry? Worrying that whether something will work out, worrying whether you will get the results that you want, worry about what other people think of you, worry about how you're perceived, worry about how good a person you are, worry about how worthwhile you are, all the good stuff. Okay. And give me a total of the hours. Okay, inside yourself, just give me a total, okay, of the hours, and then also make that as a percentage of your waking day, okay? Okay, when you can, come back here. Just bring your consciousness back into the room. Okay, and if you're in phone land, you may want to unmute your phones to participate, to share your answer. So, anyone here like to share? Nothing to be embarrassed about. If you said 100%, I'd believe you. So, no? Good.
I thought maybe 90-95 minutes a day.
90-95 minutes a day. Wow. Yeah. Okay. And what percentage is that, roughly?
I don't know. I'm up 18 hours a day usually. Okay. So.
Wow. All right. Okay. So about 8% of the day. All right. Okay. Anybody else like to? Kid.
I figure I'm awake 12 hours a day. So, I would say 4 hours, so 30%.
Okay, all right. So, 4 hours or one-third of the day, 33%. Okay, anybody? Good.
Probably say like 90%.
90%. Oh, okay, good. Okay. Anyone in Phoneland like to share? You may need to unmute.
Dr. Lane?
Yes.
I would say I spend about a quarter of my waking days spent on what you just said.
Okay, good. Okay. Anybody else like to?
I would say maybe 50% of my waking hours when I think about it, because sometimes it's an undercurrent.
Okay.
I'm not consciously
okay.
aware that
mm-hmm.
I'm in worry. But when I did the process, I realized
okay, good.
There's a background of
okay.
fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, so 50%, some of the time it's conscious, a lot of the time there's just the undercurrent of it going on. Okay, good.
I get the 52%, but I honestly 52%!
0.609 carried to the 14th place. Okay.
I'm going to guess it's like layered. I think that's probably the
okay.
52% that I'm conscious of.
Okay, 52%. Okay, and then some of it's obviously layered, etc. Okay. Did you use an abacus to get it to 52%?
Because I'm translating, I guess. It was a visual number, 52, and
okay.
I said, no way, I probably
okay.
said 90%.
Okay, well, somewhere between 52 and 90%, truth
yeah.
be told. Okay, all right. Anybody else?
10%.
10%, okay, good, that's pretty good. All right, anybody else?
Hi, Dr. Lane. It's Andrew. I would say 75-80%.
75-80%. Okay, good. Okay.
I would say
50%.
And mine started increasing when you were saying all the stuff that was, you know,
okay.
upset and worry, 1 hour, 2 hours.
Okay. In ever increasing increments, starting with 50%. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right, and my question to you is, if you were to replace the sorrow of not getting what you want, the sorrow of not having things worked out the way you think it should be, replace the fear, replace the worry with just being present with God inside of yourself, with the Spirit, how would you feel? And how would your life be different? Okay. Now, spiritually, we know that things work out exactly as they need to. That it's karmically correct. Okay? So, for example, it was karmically correct that I didn't make the Knicks. Okay? That was karmically correct. Okay, now obviously it wasn't my preference. Okay, people with a lot of basketball wisdom were amazed how this could happen. Okay, and they weren't necessarily in agreement with it, but it was karmically correct. Okay, or it wouldn't have happened. So we need to have a frame of reference. When we sit and we have a lot of sadness or sorrow about how things are, or what happened, that sort of thing, we need to know that it is according to our karma and that it is exactly what is needed. Okay? We also know from the teachings that worry is a handmaiden of doubt. Okay? And we know that doubt comes from the mind, the mental realm, and that doubt plays a very important role in the scheme of things within consciousness. Okay? What is doubt? Okay? Doubt is the mechanism by which the lower self, the false self, spearheaded by the mind, asserts its sovereignty, makes believe that it's in charge, and tries to be in charge, tries to be the dominant part in your consciousness. Okay? And what's being doubted? Okay? But the simple truth that you are spirit, you are soul, and that God lives within you. So if that part of your consciousness doubts that and you buy into it, well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to discard the spirit in you. And then lo and behold, what happens? Well, the mind rules the roost. You get to continue with your reincarnational patterns, with your karma, and you keep going on and on and on and on. Okay? And then, of course, when it's time to leave the body, you get to see your creations. Oh my God, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I did all this stuff. And what was it based on? Well, I didn't know I was spirit. I didn't doubt. I didn't even know I was doubting it. Well, that's okay. That's fine. In the journey of a soul, you get as many bodies as you need to come into the realization that you are spirit and to know yourself as spirit. Okay? How long it takes, that's your choice. Okay? That's your choice. God's patient. God's very patient. And He's very generous. You need another body, here's another one. You know, hey, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. You want to be a dummy? Be as dumb as you want to be for as long as you need to be. Okay? And dumb is spelled K-A-R-M-A. That's how you spell dumb. That's how stupidity is spelled. Because when you're under karma and you choose into that, you're at the mercy of everything you've put into motion before. And whatever you put into motion before is your separation. See? So what you're doing when you doubt is you're really getting your karma back. You know, because, hey, if I doubt, then guess what? I can discard spirit. And I'm doubting because I'm choosing to live in karma. But what's the karma? Well, any karma does the same thing. It separates you from the spirit you are. You see? You go around in circles. You go around in circles. You go around in circles. Okay? And that's how ingenious we are. And we can perpetuate and keep this going. And go around in circles, go around in circles, go around in circles. Okay? Until we get tired and we get dizzy. Okay? See? And behind it all is this fear. What's the fear? Fear of God. Real simple. Okay? We have the story of Adam and Eve. That's the classic example. Okay? They were ashamed of their nakedness. Okay, so let's look at that. Okay, it doesn't mean they had an ugly body or anything else like that, or, you know, they couldn't go see a plastic surgeon, their insurance wouldn't cover it, or anything else like that. Okay, it meant that ashamed was that they didn't measure up to an ideal. Okay, and they weren't good enough. They didn't feel worthy. Okay, and the human race, the consciousness works inside out and backwards. Okay? So the story is about their being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Okay? But in truth, what does the consciousness do when it buys into not worthy, not good enough? It kicks God out of its consciousness. When you enter into doubt, when you enter into judgment, sorrow about how things are and were and all that kind of stuff, you're kicking God out. And you're saying that's not how it is according to the plan, according to God's plan. I know better. None of this stuff is karmically correct. This is what should have happened. And then you start shooting on yourself. Okay? And you know, and the thing about this kind of shooting is that there are no booper scoopers, you know, to clean it up. And you get stuck with it, you get stuck with it, and it weighs you down. Okay, so we have this thing called fear, and we know that the journey of a soul is from fear of God to love of God. That's the journey of a soul in a nutshell. Okay? And, you know, it was interesting. Somebody very recently asked me, you know, about a soul that had recently left the body. Hey, if we send a lot of light to it, will it go up? Will it increase its frequency and will it go to a higher level? No. Okay? It won't. Because all the levels below what's called the soul realm, or where you are subject to karma and reincarnation, all those levels are exclusionary. They are exclusionary. Okay? Well, it may not be politically correct, it's spiritually correct. Okay? And by exclusionary, I mean that the souls on those levels, they are contained within that level. They cannot up-vibrate, increase their frequency, come to know themselves as spirit, or anything else like that. They're inheriting their creations. They're inheriting their karmic flow. Okay? And to me, the fascinating thing is, what's the place below the soul realm, where you're subject to karma and reincarnation, where a soul can advance? There's only one, and that's this planet. So here's this planet that's more negatively charged than any other place, that gives you this incredible opportunity to come and know God. It's like you have to go all the way out and use this place properly to go all the way in the inner worlds. You know? See, because when someone dies, their body just drops. And they're just they were the outcropping of where they are in the inner worlds anyway. So they're just going back to where they were when they were in the body. Okay? So if you increase your frequency, come to know yourself as spirit, as soul, through an initiatory path into what's called the sound current or the Holy Spirit, then guess what? That's the way. It's not the way because I say so, okay? But it's God's way, and it's actually the way that the Christ taught, okay? The Christ Jesus taught, okay? The Word is, when he said, I'm the Word made manifest, the Word's another name for the sound current. So when you see me, I'm the sound current in the physical. He was the embodiment of that, of the Holy Spirit or the sound current. Okay? And it's real interesting to me how we've like slipped. And it's like what we do is we go to a restaurant and we say, food? I don't want the food. I'm going to eat the menu. See, I'm going to confuse the symbol of something with the reality, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have, you know, some wine and some bread, or I'm going to have some parchment scrolls written or anything else, and that's going to be it, okay? And then I'm going to worship these things or have these things and have an importance, okay? That doesn't really exist. But what's the meaning of the bread and the wine? Well, the wine is the blood flowing through you. And what's in the blood but the vibratory frequency of the spirit you are, or of God? Okay, the bread is the body of Christ. Well, what's the body of Christ? You know? Okay, it has to do with what's in consciousness, our will and God's will being one and the same. And we become a member of the body of God, or the body of Christ. Okay? If you take a look at the ocean, you can take one drop of the water in the ocean, and compare it to any other drop, or all the other drops, it's all the same. It's all the same. And so each individual soul is a part of God's body. It's a cell in God's body. And our consciousness is being awakened, needs to be awakened, so that God can come to know himself. See, in God, he's sort of done something interesting and unusual. Because of his love for us, he's waiting on us to be a light, for each cell to light up in his body, to become fully awake. He gives us the opportunity to know him. Okay? But when we enter into sorrow, fear, and worry, what do we know? Nothing. We just know our karma. Okay? See? So, the applied mathematics is real simple here. Some of you said anywhere from 10% to 52% to 90%. Okay? But the applied mathematics is that whether it's 10%, 52%, 50%, or 90%, it all equals zero. It equals zero. There's no reality to this. Okay? It's looking in the mirror and thinking that what you see in the mirror is real. See, and the consciousness works that way. There is something in the consciousness called the cosmic mirror where we have our thoughts, we have our feelings. They get projected into this mirror. The consciousness sees into the mirror and it thinks what's in there is real. And it forgets that it has created it. Okay? So, if my ideation is, well, I'll give you a group ideation. Okay? God created the world. Okay? And after he created it, he vacated. He left. Okay? There's a whole group of people following this. Okay? All right, so when they look into this mirror, what do they see? God's not present. Okay? God's not present. Okay? He's not in the world. He's not intricately involved in the world. He's not immediately present. Okay, well then, how can you know him? Well, let's try rituals, let's try book learning, let's try a bunch of laws, all that kind of stuff. Okay, because the desire to know God obviously is innate, because the soul is within us. You know, I get a real kick out of these, I guess it's a big craze now, these neuroscientists who can stimulate electrically parts of the brain. And when they do that, people will have experiences that they often equate to religious experiences. Okay? And they're the same parts of the brain that get ignited by people who are genuinely having spiritual experiences in meditation, etc., etc. Okay? And being the great scientists they are, they totally dismiss God and they take the usual materialistic approach of, well, you know, we stimulated it in the lab, that part of the brain, so there's no reality to God because we could do it mechanically. We did it electrically. We just stimulated that, those parts of the brain. Okay? Well, but my question to you is, well then, how come someone's able to stimulate that part of his or her brain without needing you and your electricity? You know? So there's something in us. There's this God force in us. And of course, that's the soul and the spirit that's been placed within us. Okay? And this planet is the opportunity to know yourself as soul, as spirit. Okay, and that's the purpose of this thing called human life. Okay, and it's interesting. You, just think, you, man, life. Okay, you. We did the meditation in the beginning. H-U, and we chanted that. That's an old Sanskrit name for the Lord God. Okay, and it's also the first manifestation of God. You, H-U, and it is a frequency. Okay. And so it's telling us what we are. We're humans. Okay, we're manifestations of God in this form. Okay? So this is the outcropping of God. See, and every soul is with God, but yeah, on what level? You know? What level? You know? Or those people all involved with the Christ. Yeah. But what level? You know? What level? Okay? And as the soul lifts and grows through the process of coming to know itself through spirit, by being sparked awake through initiation, it lessens, as it were, its own density. Okay, because what happens is the karma around the sheets of the soul get cleared away, get burnt away, and then you start to see yourself. Okay, most of humanity knows things by reflection. Okay, in other words, if I said to you, I want you all to go and look at the moon tonight. Okay, every one of you look at the moon tonight and convince yourself that it is the sun and that it is the origin of the heat and the light, you'd probably say, well, what is this guy, nuts? You know? And I'd be inclined to agree with you. Yeah. Okay? But yeah, that's what we do in our consciousness. Okay? We know things indirectly. Okay, we know things not directly, but indirectly, by reflection. And what causes the reflection? The layers of karma. Okay, the fear, the doubt, the worry, the sadness, the sorrow, the shooting on yourself. All those karmic creations, they lie upon us in the consciousness and they distort. Mm-hmm. So I see a pebble in a brook. Well, I'll swear to you that that pebble is over here, okay? But it's not. It's distorted. I'm seeing that pebble through the reflection of the water, and it distorts it, okay? And that's what the consciousness does, and we distort things, okay? By the karma that's around us. When we take initiation, we're able to go into the soul body and know directly, okay? And be with God directly, okay? Because you worship God, you're with God in the spirit, in the soul body. And eventually, every soul is going to go home to God, which means it's going to be in the soul body and able to be with the Lord God, able to be in that frequency. It's all a frequency. And can you contain the frequency? Okay, there's a way to do it. You know, there's God in His kindness and His mercy. He gives us that way. Okay, and the applied mathematics of the worry, of the sorrow, of the doubt, of the fear is that it contributes zero. Zero. To are being present with God, okay? With one important exception, okay? And this is really key. Well, if it ain't worth nothing, you know, how come God put it here? Why is it here? Why is it in our consciousness? What are we doing with this stuff? What are we doing with worry? Why? Why does it spring from doubt? and spring so strongly. Why do we have all the sorrow? Why do we have these judgments that things should be different, etc., etc.? Why do we have this incredible fear of being with God, of being the spirit we are, being ourselves? What's all that about? Why would God put it here for us if it's worthless? Okay? Well, I didn't say it was worthless. Okay? Because this is its worth. Its worth is that it's here as a strengthener for you to choose into spirit. Okay? So, for example, okay? I had an opportunity before the satsang tonight to enter into, gosh, I don't know what I'm going to say. I have nothing intelligent to say. What is this talk about? I mean, I know the topic, you know. I know what's important. I know what's behind it, you know, which is a lifting action while you're busily distracted here. I know all that, but I don't have anything to say. So, I can easily enter into fear, doubting my own self and who I am and what I am, and the consciousness that's present with me. But I made a decision. I said, no, I'll go with the spirit. The spirit inside of me knows. The spirit inside of me knows. Okay? And the spirit inside of me is able to work with the spirit so that whatever is needed by the souls who are coming, whether they're in bodies or not, they're nourished, they're nurtured, they're taken care of, they're supplied. Okay? And I had that trust, so I moved into trust and knowing and into loving. I didn't make myself wrong. But I use this as an opportunity. You know, I use this as an opportunity, you know? Just like, yeah, you know, I'm hungry, I want to eat something, leave me alone. Okay? But guess what? That part of the false self, that was just a distraction, because if I had gone with that, then I couldn't be present inside myself with spirit and give of the overflow. So I cheat myself and I cheat you. Okay? And I told this story about someone who I heard singing, and she had been able to finally sing after many, many, many years, etc. And I had an interesting reaction. I was furious at her. I could have thrown her, you know, across the room. I was just shaking her and shaking her and shaking her. And why was I so angry at her? Because she had this beautiful voice. And because she'd enter into fear and doubt of her own self and her own abilities, she never shared it. She hid that. She hid that beautiful gift. See, she cheated herself and she cheated others. See, and when we enter into fear and sorrow and worry, we cheat ourselves if we don't use it to choose into being present. See? If you're in a relationship and you're afraid the other person's going to leave, well, guess what? You're never going to be yourself in that relationship. You can't be, because you're always going to do things to manipulate that other person to stay. See? And the beauty of the system is that no matter what you do, you're never, 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 never going to get anybody to do anything. And secondly is, you're reinforcing that negative point in you. Okay? Or if I don't feel good about myself, okay, well, let me make a lot of money and then the world loves that stuff. Or let me have status and become a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, you know, and people will think well of me and I'll really be somebody. Okay? But guess what? All I'm doing is reinforcing that negativity in me. Okay, so it never works. Attempts to manipulate others. Okay? And when we come out of fear, when we come out of worry, when we come out of thinking that things are not correct, I don't like how this person treated me. I don't like how my parents acted. I don't like how come, you know, this happens to somebody and didn't happen to me. All right? And what we're doing is we're making God wrong. Okay? But really, my question to you is, how come you're such a dummy then? If that's true, why were you so stupid as to agree to that stuff? Because you agreed to it. You agreed to it before you took on a body. You were showing the karma you had, and you agreed to it. You agreed to have it. So you're busy making yourself wrong. Busy making God wrong, busy making yourself wrong, saying how stupid you were to agree to this. Okay? And it comes also from losing our perspective that we are here to lift and grow and that things are done according to that. Okay? We are here to come to completion as soul. Yeah, and also to have karma fulfilled. Okay? And if we're blessed to take initiation, it works differently. Okay? Karma can be fulfilled by grace, etc., etc. And then obviously the stored karma for future lifetimes, that's one of the great gifts of the Lord God, how it's taken from you. Okay? But in your everydayness, you all have a choice. You can be present with spirit inside of yourself, or you can be present with doubt, sorrow, shitting on yourself, fear, etc., etc. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, you're going to have those, some people know it as basic selves, that part of your false self is going to want to reach and pull all this negativity, all this fear and doubt, and making yourself wrong, making God wrong. It's going to want to hang on to that because it's going to have something because it's afraid of lifting. And your job is to moderate it. Your job is to come into the knowing of yourself as soul, as spirit, and just start gaining some spiritual strength. Okay, so if you're holding doubt, if you're holding fear, etc., etc., okay, it's going to be there. I'll be honest with you, it's going to be there. It ain't going to disappear. It's not going to disappear until the karma is cleared, until you lift above it and go into what's called eternal life. Okay, there's a way to do that. You want to do it, fine. You don't, that's fine too. God's patient, take as long as you want. But stop complaining about your choice, okay? All right, and then even if you decide, okay, I'm not doing it, I'm staying here, I'm gonna keep grabbing onto these things, you still have the option to keep letting it go, keep letting it go, and not identifying with the karma that's upon you. Okay, so each of those things, the sorrow, the sadness, the worry, the fear, those are opportunities. Those are incredible opportunities to surrender, to trust, to allow, to let go. Okay? And okay, because in your journey as a soul, all those things progress you zero. Other than you're using them to strengthen yourself. Okay? So the karma is going to be there, okay, unless you choose to know yourself as spirit. Because God's not going to violate you. Your choice, your free will, your decision, okay? God's not going to violate you. All right, so the karma will be there. Okay, How much you decide to have it weigh on you, that's up to you. Okay? And even if you are an initiate, guess what? You've got basically a similar choice. You know, it's like people will ask me, what should I do about X, Y, and Z, and I'll tell them. 90% of the time, they don't listen. They've wasted my time. Well, that's okay. You know, if you think you've wasted my time, boy, are you in for something, because you've decided you're the teacher, and that's respected. I respect you. Please have that experience. And then you get to go through it karmically. So you'll see how much time that takes, because you're going to have to go through it in the physical and go through it physically, because that's your choice. You chose away from spirit, away from grace. So, hey, that's fine. That's your choice. It's respected, all right? And you can get your learning one way or the other. See, that's the beauty of the system. You can either get it through grace or through karma. Okay. So when God presents you with the fear, with the doubt, with the pain, with the sorrow, with the worry, with the upset, use it as it's intended to strengthen yourself and to lift and grow as a spiritual gym inside yourself. Okay? And apply your learning. That's the applied math. That all this thing could mean zero and could take up 0% of your day, or it could take up, you know, 100% of your day if you want to. 0 to 100. The choice is yours. And that's the application. But notice the key word, application. You have to apply it. You're the one. Okay, because some of you, I notice, you'll sit there and you'll describe your experience or things going on inside of you, and you're not there. It's like you have no agency. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay? That's a big con game. Okay? You can do something about it. You're entrusted to do something about it. God gives it to you for a good reason. So be smart. Use it well. And that's applied mathematics. Okay, we'll stop. And if you, I'll be back in a few minutes. If you have a question, I'll give it a shot.